Carl, you're very welcome to the show and thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much, Amber. Pleasure to be on with you.
Lovely to be chatting to you. So there is a significant shift taking place in Brussels. Firstly, can you just explain to us what is happening over there and what you're seeing on the ground?
Yeah, so it's becoming more apparent as we pass through time that that the guys in Brussels, at the Commission and that, are seeing the world in a much different light, I suppose, mainly driven probably by President Trump in America and the way he's playing global politics at the moment and seeing how trade is happening. But even the last number of weeks there at the end of May, there was a decision from the Commission to allow a $500 million state aid package in Spain for their farmers as a support for fertilizer prices. And also actually on the same day, the trade part in the Commission actually also allowed a huge merger deal between two large dairy processors in Europe, that being Arla and DMK in Germany, that's now created the biggest dairy company in Europe, about 50% bigger than Friesland Campina, that will actually be processing about nearly 19 billion litres of milk a year, which is more than twice what we actually produce in the whole of Ireland. So it definitely does seem like Europe is changing track a little bit, is what I would say, to compete in a different world than what we had, say, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and what the priorities are.
Absolutely. And I was going to say that to you as well, that those recent, I suppose, European Commission decisions, they seem to kind of point to a more flexible approach when it comes to competitiveness.
They do indeed, yeah. Like, we're almost used to, I suppose, the way to put it, of Europe being almost about regulations, about the bureaucracy, almost about restrictions. And I guess with the way things have changed now globally, be it in America or be it in China, it's almost becoming more, in maybe President Trump's words, that big is beautiful, that the bigger guys are getting, the kind of favorable kind of terms for trading on that. And it's been recognized, I think, now at this stage in Europe that, yeah, it's all good to have ideals and to try and make everything a nice, even, fair playing field. But when it's not fair out there in the wider world, European companies have to be able to compete against the global giants, be they US or be they China. So from previously, like, let's say you might have looked at regulation in Europe, that we would kind of set the regulation here with the thought that the rest of the world has to follow Europe. And now it's a case of Europe seems to be deciding, yeah, it's a big bad world out there, and we've got to enable our companies here in Europe to be able to compete in that world. That's not as fair as maybe we would have seen it in previous years.
For businesses, it probably sounds like a more positive thing. But what will it mean exactly for them, I suppose, now as they look to the future and as these, I suppose, decisions come into force?
Yeah, well, I suppose at the kind of level that these two decisions are, they could be seen as both positive and negative, let's say, for Irish businesses. Because, I mean, like, if you're looking at the scale now of the new dairy cooperative, let's say it's going to be the biggest in Europe, over nearly 19 billion litres of milk, 20 mm-hmm. billion of turnover. Like, it blows even the size, let's say, of Irish dairy out of the water as a whole to compete against those side of guys. But I guess it's hopefully the mindset at the European level will enable companies, be it here in Ireland, be it wherever, to structure themselves in such a way and to be allowed to compete on that global market without as many restrictions. And even if you take it down even to maybe even the agricultural level, I know there'll always be frustration or at farmer level in Europe that there's so many restrictions here on what, say, products farmers can use, what technology they can use, and then they're expected to compete against, say, farms maybe from the US, from Brazil, that are on a vast scale, that are allowed to use all these technologies. And I think it might be a shift in European policy to make sure that at the business side, to enable European, Irish, wherever you're from, within the EU, companies to be able to compete on a level playing field and to be able to maybe strengthen themselves to compete against those guys on a global sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carol, I suppose in my own head anyway, when I'm thinking of these changes, I'm thinking kind of like Irish exporters, family businesses and the agri-food sector as well. I know you've mentioned that as well. What do they need to know now, maybe, as these decisions have been made and they're looking to, you know, expand their business maybe, or just to continue the trade that they're doing? Do they need to know anything or need to be doing anything at the moment, will say, these businesses?
Yeah, I would say the main thing is to be aware of any changes that are happening, because I would say the one thing that's worse for businesses, no matter what is happening, is uncertainty. And we are in such an uncertain times at the moment. We've come through COVID, we've had the war in Ukraine, we had the cost of living crisis, we had the tariffs last year that seems like a lifetime ago, and know, we've all the happenings, say, the Strait of Hormuz and in Iran. So even though in one way we can say, yeah, it's good from an EU point of view in general, that maybe there's a more realism there and a little bit of a scale back on the kind of restrictions and on the rules, it also creates a bit of uncertainty, which is not good, especially for smaller and medium-sized businesses to try and keep up to date with what's happening. So I'd say that businesses in Ireland definitely need to be aware of what's happening, to see what's out there, to be talking to their suppliers, to be talking to their customers, especially, like, into to see what challenges they see coming. And even on the business kind of own perspective, we would be saying that, like, the likes of your costs, the likes of your supply chains, and that they have to be monitored very closely on an ongoing basis to make sure that you're keeping your costs under control, that your suppliers are able to deliver what's required for you when it's required. And even we're seeing it a lot at the moment, that if we went back a number of years ago, the big talk would always have been about just-in-time supplies for businesses, that you just had the stock you needed to make the product that you required to then sell on. But because there's so much uncertainty out there now, even in supply chains, it's moving to what we're now calling just-in-case. So there's a need probably to even have, like, a little bit of a buffer, let's say, held within businesses, that, yeah, it is a cost, but it's safer that you have something that you can be sure that you've got your supply as required for whatever you're manufacturing, whatever you're putting together, whatever you're exporting, whatever your customer needs, that you can actually supply that. So it definitely is a change in business landscape out there. And I'd say it's something that business owners and managers definitely need to be aware of, be on top of, and get as much advice as they can from people who know what's happening.
Absolutely. And Carol, in terms of, I suppose, these changes now, will there maybe be an impact when it comes to food prices, do you think?
The answer to that, unfortunately, from analysis we're doing here, is yes. We would expect, like, yeah, that it is going to be effects on the cost of living and on food prices. So, I mean, especially, I suppose, that's going to be coming from what we've experienced the last number of months with the crisis in the Strait of Hormuz and the war in Iran. That's affected fuel supplies. We're well aware it has affected fuel prices at the pumps and that. Yeah, there is some supports in place at the moment, but we should be aware that those supports probably from the government are going to lapse. So that means we're going to probably see a spike in price at the pumps once more, even though hopefully the peace has come to the Middle East at that stage and that the price in the global markets has come down a bit. But that increase in energy supply or in the price of energy, it's going to pass on to electricity. It has passed on to fertilizers. It's going to be kicking on, I would say, definitely for the next year to 18 months, we're going to be feeling that effect. And there will be that lag, but we would be forecasting here in IFAC that we probably are going to see over the next 18 months another rise in food prices like we saw for the last maybe 2 years, which would mean if you compare maybe to 2020, 2021, food prices would probably be about 50% higher than they were, say, 6 to 7 years ago. So, yeah, they are going to have to kick on, because it's just a reality that everything is getting so expensive. Like, when you start at farmer level for the fertilizer that you need, or the fuel to grow or to harvest or to milk or whatever you need to do on farm, onto the cost that processors now have for that energy or for that labor, onto the delivery, on even if you get into the shops, let's say, you can imagine your cold storage, your fridges, everything is getting more expensive. So unfortunately, I would be saying, yeah, the cost of food on the shelves is going to get more expensive for the next year to 18 months.
Yeah. And you've just gone through a lot there, and you spoke about uncertainty a few moments ago as well. And it's a very difficult time, I can imagine, for businesses, no matter, I suppose, what industry or sector they're in. And I suppose no matter what size really they are as well, because as you said, like, you know, the constant pressure they're under, I suppose, with the uncertainty alone, but then the rising costs in tandem with that as well. It's probably a particularly stressful time for businesses at the moment, and has been for quite some time now, Carol.
Oh, it has. It's been extremely, as we say, like, I mean, each one of the crises that we can kind of list out there from about 2021, each was a huge one on its own, but we've had them all now in the last 5 to 6 years or so. So you had COVID and all the effects that happened there. Then we had the war in Ukraine and all that happened there with energy prices. Then this time last year, as we were saying, we had tariffs, which seemed absolutely like the biggest crisis that could come to business. And now we're sitting here this year, kind of going, tariffs doesn't really matter. The tariffs are in place. We've got used to moved on, but we've got the crisis this year. And the problem is what may come next. And it's just trying to survive and trying to thrive within that business environment is very hard. And then the last week, we've had the ECB has risen interest rates. They're indicating that there probably will be more raises to interest rates between here and the year end because of inflation. So again, that's piling more and more pressure on businesses. So I'd say, the main advice I would say for businesses is to be really well aware of their own costs within their own door, make sure they're operating as efficiently as they can, and that they have as little waste as they can in how they're doing processes, to make sure that they have a secure supplier base of what's coming into them, and that they're speaking to their customers to make sure that their customers are in the best position possible to purchase from them and to pay. But like, it is a very, very stressful time at the moment in business. I definitely agree.
It certainly is. And I suppose, Carol, it's important that businesses, if they are feeling that pressure and they are struggling and they maybe don't know where to turn to next or what to do, to reach out to the likes of maybe IFAC or, you know, the other groups that are available there as well, because there is always someone there, I suppose, to give advice and to try and help businesses in the best possible way that they can, because everyone wants to see businesses keeping their doors open and keeping operating.
Yeah. It's in everybody's interest. Like, I mean, it's the only way the whole economy survives. And I mean, we can have talks at national level about the huge corporation tax take from the huge multinationals, your Eli Lilly, your Googles, your Meta and these, but at the end of the day, it's the small and medium businesses are the backbone of the country. And definitely when we're here in Kerry, yeah, we've got Kerry Group and a few large companies like that, but there's so many smaller companies that actually feed into them and feed off of them that we have to make sure that they survive and that they get through all this pressure. And yeah, that I would advise, like, yeah, that there is advice out there, there is help out there, and to access that you're not in a silo in a business on your own. Like, to use your advisors, as you say, to come to IFAC. We've got our experts here. We've got tax, accounting, auditing. We're looking at it from an economic point of view. Whatever's required, the help is out there. So we definitely advise businesses, yeah, if they think they might be coming under pressure, because I would say you do it before you are in financial strain, talk to your advisors, put plans in place, secure whatever is needed, and to make sure you can get through this stressful time.
Absolutely. Well, Carol, it's been lovely to talk to you, and thanks for taking us through those changes and taking the time to join me on the show.
Pleasure, Amber. Thank you very much.